Apparently, you can change your spots.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Glad you can join me as Marketplace covers the financial crisis fallout. American Express would like some help from the government, but it's not a bank, so it doesn't qualify for money from the rescue package. No problem. Amex will just turn into a bank, and the government says that's okay. Jeremy Hobson has more from New York.
The change to a bank holding company means American Express will qualify for a piece of the $700 billion bailout. Gary Schilling, who runs an economic consulting firm, says the move signals problems in the credit card industry in general. He says as consumer defaults mount, other companies may follow the Amex lead.
This becomes a competitive race to the bottom. And, yeah, I would think you'd probably find all those that are not already banks one way or the other would want to join the parade.
Christopher Whalen of Institutional Risk Analytics sees a longer-term strategy at play. He says the marketplace is far more comfortable dealing with a bank holding company.
Because everybody knows if the bank fails or if the company fails, the bank will be taken over by a receiver and all of the institutional counterparties will be paid.
Whalen says the move should give American Express more credibility when it comes to raising capital. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
American Express used to say, don't leave home without it. Citigroup is saying, don't leave home. The bank has launched a new program to try to keep people in their homes and out of foreclosure. Jennifer Collins reports.
If you've got a home loan with Citigroup, you may soon be getting a call. The bank plans to reach out to 500,000 borrowers. Sound familiar? Recently, J.P. Morgan announced a 90-day moratorium on foreclosures. But Citi plans to keep its borrowers paying, even if the payment is only a tiny portion of the interest. Sanjeev Das, the head of Citi's mortgage department, says the approach is more realistic.
A 90-day moratorium is not going to fix the problem for those people who have lost their jobs. I mean, think about the borrower on the 91st day. They will be foreclosed on.
He says a homeowner with a $300,000 loan could pay as little as $500 a month for a few years. Management consultant Peter Cohen says plans like Citi's sound great, but
people will be skeptical and wait to see whether it actually amounts to anything more than just a nice press release and see whether there's actually tangible results to come out of it.
Cohen says the U.S. government needs to step in to prevent 8.5 million defaults expected over the next 2 years. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
There is very little good economic news anywhere today. Japan said exports are down and corporate bankruptcies are up. Britain said retail is sour and home sales are at a 30-year low. Even China is seeing demand for just about everything wilt. As far as I can tell, every stock market on the planet is down. The Dow has lost 200 points in the early going to 86.64. The NASDAQ is down 36, and the S&P 500 is down 22, about 2.5% for those indexes. In Asia, the markets closed 3 to 5% lower. European shares are off by 3% so far. This week, Congress will start looking at the regulation of hedge funds. Marketplace's Alisa Roth has more on that.
These are rough days for hedge funds. Like everybody else, they've been flattened by the financial mess. Investors have been pulling out, and there's more talk than ever about regulating the unregulated. Chris Cutler advises institutional investors on picking hedge funds. He says the right kind of regulation could make the industry stronger, but he's worried Congress might come up with something else.
They're not really necessarily experts at what they're asked to regulate. So the risk is that they do things poorly, and it's very disruptive.
Critics of hedge fund regulation say hedge fund investors are savvy, and adding all kinds of rules would just turn hedge funds into high-rolling mutual funds. But Congress is determined to look at the issue. The House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform takes up the question on Thursday. Meanwhile, the House Financial Services Committee meets Wednesday to look at whether hedge funds can refuse to participate in a government-backed plan to renegotiate mortgages. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Tuesday, November 11th on Marketplace.org. I said there was very little good economic news out there. Here's the very little. A droplet from Germany. albeit a droplet in a sea of pain. Kyle James reports from Berlin.
Germany is Europe's economic powerhouse, so when things start looking dire here, other European nations worry. Today, a closely watched report shows German investor sentiment has improved somewhat since last month. Even so, no one's popping open the champagne. Sandra Schmidt, an economist who helped compile the report, says Germany is still in the dumps.
The uncertainty is very large. Banks do not trust in each other, so that's a very big problem at the moment. The mood is very bad.
And a slowing European economy can dent profits on the other side of the Atlantic. U.S. companies make almost one half of their foreign sales in Europe. In Berlin, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
Today we honor veterans and salute their service to the country. The Obama team is focusing some attention on the hardships military families face. John Dimsdale has more on that from Washington.
The president-elect's wife, Michelle Obama, says she has no plans to take on big policy issues like health care reform while she's in the White House. But she will champion causes such as public service, and especially the sacrifices made by military families. The Military Family Research Institute says the length of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars means many soldiers have been deployed overseas more than once, creating hardships for those left at home. Some reservists have been away from their civilian jobs now for 3 of the last 6 years, and the Institute's biggest concern is that public enthusiasm for military family support programs will wane as the wars drag on. That's why service members say they're glad Michelle Obama is using her bully pulpit to highlight their sacrifices. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Some people who live in Washington are offering to rent out their homes or even do a house swap. Lots of activity on Craigslist. Nancy Marshall Genza reports.
Kathleen Cook decided to fly from Texas to Washington for the inauguration after snagging cheap plane tickets. For lodging, she turned to Craigslist.
I saw someone in Arlington is renting their couch, just their couch, for $100 a night.
So Cook decided to try a housing swap. Her family has a cabin in West Virginia. She put it up on Craigslist, offering a week at the cabin for downtown D.C. digs.
I need to find a Republican who likes the mountains and wants to be out of town.
But D.C. residents who are willing to swap houses, like Janice Pfeiffer, are picky.
You know, my downtown brand new condo for your house, preferably in Europe or near a ski resort.
Pfeiffer might also bunk with her sister in Baltimore and rent out her condo for inauguration week for $6,000. In Washington, but not renting out my house, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
We're doing a series called What's the Fix? The question, obviously, is what are some of the best solutions for getting out of the financial crisis and improving our economy? This weekend, leaders from 20 countries will gather in Washington to discuss possible answers. I'm joined now by Howard Wealdon. He's a strategist for BGC Partners in London. It's a brokerage house. Howard, what do you consider the agenda for this G20 meeting?
Well, the top priorities are to get the countries that have been the global leaders intent on spending their way out, increasing domestic consumption, and of course having sorted the banking and financial market crisis as to where we go from here.
Well, in terms of spending our way out of it, it seems that here the focus for individuals is on saving right now, and there doesn't seem to be any increase in consumer spending on the horizon in the United States. So it seems like it's all on the government to make it happen.
That's a problem. I'm afraid the savings culture, much that I would welcome it, we're only storing up for ourselves a culture that's going to make it very, very difficult in 5 and maybe 10 years from now. Because all this money that we will be borrowing, that you will be borrowing, that we will be borrowing, has to at some point in the future be paid for by using the consumer and by higher taxation.
And in terms of regulation, world policing doesn't usually work very well. So how is that going to happen?
Well, we've never had it. And so there is the old adage, what you've never had, you never miss. And if I was a skeptic, I would have to turn around and say, let them talk about it and have their pound of flesh. But quite frankly, I don't see that anything is going to emerge. I think regulation has to be left to the individual nations. I think it's impossible to conceive that we will have a set of global rules in under 10 years.
Well, that doesn't sound very encouraging for this meeting.
No, it doesn't. I mean, again, being skeptical, the communique has probably already been all but agreed. It will be very nice sounding. The European politicians will, in essence, lead this from the point of view that President Bush is obviously outgoing and President-elect Obama will not, I understand, be there.
Howard Wieldon from BGC Partners in London, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
As part of our series, What's the Fix?, we're hearing from all kinds of people about their ideas for fixing the economy. Sometimes we just hit the street and talk to strangers.
My name is Miller Johnson. I'm a retired librarian and a hobby farmer. I live in Indiana, southwest of Indianapolis. My idea is to develop a fourth branch of government, the fiscal branch, as a constitutional amendment. We need a check and a balance on the legislative branch from overspending. And the fiscal branch would combine a lot of the services of the current government into one branch, but its primary purpose would be to set the amount of money that the government may spend.
My name is Edward McDonald. I am a resident of the Twin Cities in Minnesota, St. Paul, Minneapolis. Well, I think the fix is have Congress and the administration do the following. Pass a $700 billion residential street stimulus. And then the revenues generated by the resident street stimulus would be used to address affordable housing needs, health care needs, infrastructure repair needs, economic development and job creation strategies, environmental concerns, energy independence strategies, education access and support, and issues of inequality. These initiatives are at the core of what grows a middle class, which builds a strong economy.
My name is Miranda Marquette. I live in Logan, Utah. My idea to fix the economy is to come up with a way that we as a society, with the help of our leaders, can change the way we think about spending money and the way that we have a debt-based economy. Another thing that I think might help would be making financial literacy part of the school curriculum. And personal finance and money issues are perfect for part of the math curriculum, and I think adding that and making financial education more accessible to more people would also help a lot.
What is your fix? Let us know. Share it with us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.